Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Darren McBreen. It is Thursday, December 17th, 2015. Here's a quick look what's coming up.
Tonight, while surveillance agencies monitor even the most mundane activities of Americans, laws forbid the Fed from looking into the social media posts of terror suspects abroad. Then,
when you had the World Trade Center go, people were put into planes that were friends, family, girlfriends, and they were put into planes and they were sent back for the most part to Saudi Arabia.
This is another example of the lack of seriousness.
A look back at how the Bin Ladens were allowed to fly on 9/11 and what you need to know about the new Star Wars film. That's next.
So we got a pretty good idea what's in the film, and I gotta say, the plot is better than I thought it would be. And so now I'm not so negative on it. I mean, and people say, why do you care about Star Wars with all this big news happening worldwide? Aren't you kind of
clean, pure drinking water? You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new, groundbreaking, gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Well, by now it should be obvious to everyone that Republican presidential candidate and frontrunner Donald Trump is not afraid of controversy, from his statements about killing ISIS family members to his proposed policy of not allowing Syrian refugees into the country. Donald Trump has managed to, well, not only take on delicate issues head on, but his refusal for political correctness has only made him stronger and more popular among his supporters. And as of right now, I mean, Donald Trump still has a commanding lead over the rest of the GOP candidates, as many Americans see him as anti-establishment. Well, I don't know about all that, but one thing's for sure, regardless of what you think about Trump, he is talking about subjects and bringing up topics that, well, to be honest, the rest of the candidates are afraid to talk about. Case in point, the GOP debate the other night, Donald Trump exposed how George W. Bush helped the Bin Ladens escape after 9/11. Remember, all commercial and private airline traffic was shut down after the attacks on September 11th, but the Bush White House, they approved planes to pick up members of the Bin Laden family. They actually flew them out of the country, and this was before they could be detained or even questioned. Again, this was when no one was allowed to fly under any circumstances.
When you had the World Trade Center go, people were put into planes that were friends, family, girlfriends, and they were put into planes, and they were sent back, for the most part, to Saudi Arabia.
That's right. There you go. Once again, we hear about Saudi Arabia, whose government and members of the Saudi royal family helped finance and train the 9/11 hijackers. Google search the 28 pages. And it turns out that not only did Bush smuggle the Bin Ladens out of the country, but also several suspects from Saudi Arabia. Six private jets, two dozen commercial airliners, carried a total of 142 Saudis and 24 members of the Bin Laden family out of the United States. Again, this is while all other airline traffic was grounded. By the way, a good book on this subject, House of Bush, House of Saud by Craig Unger, goes into much more detail. And I'll never forget watching an interview with former head of the visa department in Saudi Arabia, Michael Springman, who became a whistleblower when he witnessed the U.S. government take part in covert operations to funnel in and protect Islamic terrorists as far back as 1987. And he thinks that the 9/11 hijackers were CIA assets, and they were brought through knowing that they would be protected by the agency.
Well, it began in Jeddah when I was repeatedly told to issue visas to unqualified applicants. This went on for quite some time during most of my tour there. Under the American immigration laws, you need to demonstrate that you're going to the United States for a specific purpose. And typically, in such a situation, you're going to sign a business deal, or you're going to go as a tourist to see the Grand Canyon, or you're going to the United States as a student to study a particular course of study. And these were people that had no job in one instance. He was a Sudanese who was unemployed in Saudi Arabia and a refugee from the Sudan. But he got a visa for national security purposes after it was taken out of my hands by the chief of the consular section. At basis, though, I really think that these were more CIA assets, people that were recruited, like all of the folks I've been issuing visas to a couple of years previously. And these people were tools to be done for a job. Well, the visas issued to the hijackers in Jeddah came about as a result of it being a CIA consulate. It was the fifth largest visa-issuing post in the Middle East. It was pretty much a closed system, and they simply brought them through there, and knowing that they would be protected by the agency, that people would get their visas, or if they didn't get the visas, they could be made to be given visas. Once I got back to the United States and was out of the Foreign Service, I ran across a couple of people with ties to the American government that told me another story, that the CIA was recruiting fighters for the Afghan war against the then Soviets, and that their asset, Osama bin Laden, was working with them.
In the early 1980s, bin Laden worked with operatives from U.S. intelligence, the Pakistani military, and Arab states. They ran a wide-ranging covert network that recruited and financed Muslim fighters to battle the Soviet army.
And it is now known that the boogeyman, Osama bin Laden, well, he was indeed a CIA asset, and he went by the name of Tim Osman, whenever he traveled to the United States.
The relationship between bin Laden and the CIA was essentially, he was one of their assets, one of the people they could turn to for help if they had questions. If they wanted somebody recruited, if they wanted somebody sent somewhere, if they wanted information, if they wanted something done, they went to bin Laden.
Bin Laden isn't wanted by the FBI, and he was on a CIA payroll. Is he the brutal Islamic terrorist we have been led to believe?
So we know that before 9/11, radical Muslim terrorists were allowed visas into the United States. And for whatever reason, they were protected by the CIA. So what's the Visa Department up to these days? Well, unfortunately, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And Michael Springman joins us now to talk about the current U.S. visa policy. And I wanted to ask you about foreign contractors, because I'm hearing that a lot of these guys are basically able to sell a ticket to America to the highest bidder. How dangerous is that?
Well, that is pretty creepy. I am not an entire expert on that, but I do know that the State Department has farmed out a lot of its payments for visas and a lot of his investigatory work. And this is absolutely amazing. They claim it's to reduce the workload on the consular officer. But when I was in Jeddah, I interviewed 100, 200 people a day and I didn't have this problem. They filled out a piece of paper with two sides on it. And, I had a two minute interview with them. And now if you want to get a visa from the United States, you get a personal application, four pages on the internet with the local Foreign Service post, answering all kinds of questions about your background, including your parents' names and addresses. And then you get a personal interview, And after that, you still get subjected to all sorts of investigation and controls on who you are, where you're going, and so forth. It's not an easy, simple process anymore. The prices have gone sky high, and you're limited in the number of applications you can make in a year.
Well, let's talk about the San Bernardino shooters. You know, one of the terrorists was Tashfeen Malik, and she was one of the radical Muslims who carried out the attacks in San Bernardino. She was approved for a K-1 fiancé visa by the U.S. Embassy in Islamabad, Pakistan, even though she had a history of involvement with radical jihadist groups in Pakistan and Saudi Arabia, not to mention her participation in several jihadist-oriented social media sites. So why was it so simple for her to get into the country?
I believe that she had help from the American government because by law and regulation, and in fact, it's set forth on the embassy in Islamabad's website, if you spend more than 6 months in a country over the age of 16, you need to have a police report from that country as part of your application package. She had spent time in Saudi Arabia and should have had a police certificate. Additionally, according to the website and the State Department's own paperwork, if you are married, even in a Muslim contract marriage that is not consummated, you cannot get a K-1 fiancé visa. Your spouse in the United States has to produce a immigrant visa petition and apply for a K-3 spousal visa. And my understanding from reading the news reports was that she had been married in Saudi Arabia, and that she never produced that information, which was registered with the Saudi government. And somehow she avoided having to produce a police certificate, even though that was required by the embassy in Islamabad.
Well, let me ask you this. Just when you thought Obama's America couldn't get any more politically correct, I heard that immigration officials are now prohibited from looking at visa applicants' social media. What's up with that?
Well, I can see perhaps the immigration officials doing that, but the people who do the real looking are the Central Intelligence Agency and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And as far as I know, they can pretty much do as they please. This business of these people slipping through somehow is a bit hard to take because they were fingerprinted. And in case the woman was, she had to be fingerprinted for her K visa, for which she was not qualified. And when she became a permanent resident in the United States, she was again fingerprinted and investigated by the FBI and by the CIA. I once had a Pakistani Muslim client whose horrible crime was to be in a federal park after closing hours, and he paid a $40 ticket, and this followed him all the way through to application for permanent residence and application for citizenship. I mean, he was watched and watched and investigated until the cows came home, and we couldn't do a thing about it except finally I began threatening lawsuits against the federal government, and suddenly it became a lot better.
So I guess what it boils down to is that there is a vetting process by the average, your average immigration official and visa applicants. They go through this and look at everything as much as they can. But the federal government is the one that are letting these potential terrorists into the country.
Yeah. I mean, it's the federal government is behind it. The immigration is a federal issue, and the United States government has complete control over this stuff. They have legal attaches abroad in most embassies. They have a CIA station in every embassy, plus a number of bases and consulates, so that these people do a lot of checking and double-checking and rechecking. So this business of, well, we didn't know, we couldn't find out what she posted on Facebook, I've never seen anything stop the CIA from doing what it pleases.
That's right. Well, more proof that the more things change, the more they stay the same. Thank you, Michael Springman.
All right. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Here's the thing. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson says that it would be bad for public relations if immigration officials were to review social media posts by foreigners applying for visas. This is Twilight Zone level insanity. I mean, if I was a manager at McDonald's and I wanted to hire a guy to serve French fries at the drive-thru, you can bet your ass that I'd probably check out his Facebook page before I decided to hire him. But yet in today's Obamaville, USA, they are more concerned about a civil liberty backlash than they are about protecting our nation from terrorists. Unbelievable. Well, the long-anticipated Star Wars movie is finally in theaters. And you know, without question, the Star Wars movies have had a huge impact on popular culture. And George Lucas, the creator of Star Wars, says that deep down, everyone knows that the greatest threat to liberty isn't the average criminal on the street, but the monolithic, all-powerful state, the New World Order. The human desire to resist tyranny is one of the strongest drives we have. George Lucas did a really good job of portraying that in his movies. For example, Star Wars Episode III, The Revenge of the Sith, well, it's about as sci-fi as you can get, but it mirrors reality, and it details the psychology of government-sponsored terrorism as a tool of empire.
Not understand, wait. And they actually wrote articles. Emperor Palpatine's attacking himself. It makes no sense. Adults cannot understand children-level ideas. Okay? Child-level ideas. Child-level.
Now, Star Wars The Force Awakens is the new film now in theaters, this time produced by Disney and directed by J.J. Abrams. And it continues the cinematic saga of an interplanetary civilization struggles with galactic war and tyranny. The plot of the new Star Wars movie frighteningly resembles modern-day America, as global warfare, driven by a planetary empire, thrusts the world into a militarized police state. Once again, science fiction mirrors reality. Infowars.com.
The Force is strong with you. A powerful Sith you will become. Henceforth, you shall be known as Darth Vader.
Shane Steiner's involvement with InfoWarsLife.com truly happened in an organic way. I went to high school with Shane, his brother, knew his parents well. And he was visiting the office once, hadn't been to the office in years, and said, wow, I notice you're making and selling supplements. Do these really work? Because I've tried a lot of supplements as a workout enthusiast, and I really think most of them are hype. And I said, here, take some home, try it. Well, a few weeks later, he came in blown away and said, I want to buy 3 boxes of this stuff to give my friends and family. It's simply amazing. He said, why does it work so well? And I said, listen, go to InfoWarsLife.com, watch the informational videos with Dr. Group and others. They understand how it all works. I know that it works for me. That's all I understand. The science, the facts, the research, people's testimonials, they're all on InfoWarsLife.com. You can check it out for yourself.
I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to push myself and work out harder. And that led to me being able to come out and do stuff like the barefooting and the surfing and stuff like that, which what I would never done. I never would have done that 2 years ago.
Shane has said over and over again, more than just libido and energy, it made him want to get into the gym more. It made him want to get in better shape. And believe me, the Steiners have amazing genetics. His brother is a world champion steer wrestler. His dad, Bobby Steiner, is a famous world champion bull rider. They've got natural genetics. But when you added this to the mix, in Shane's own words, it took him to the next level. Shane noticed the mental clarity. Bobby was able to work out longer and gain muscle mass. He's already completely shredded. I gotta admit, for me, the biggest effect has been libido. Now, I've never claimed to have a body like some beach model, but back when I was 20, 22 years old and worked out every day, I looked great. But over the years, and being married, having three kids, and working 18 hours a day, I gained basically 100 pounds. And it's been a long process losing that weight in the last 4 years. But if you look at the photos and the videos of what I looked like 4 or 5 years ago versus today, the results are dramatic. I'd already cleaned up my diet. I was working out hard, but I'd only lost about 20 pounds. It was adding the other key ingredients from InfoWarsLife.com that helped me personally go to the next level and shed another 35 pounds.
This has actually made me feel so good that here lately, about a year ago, I started training jiu-jitsu, and that kind of led to doing some boxing and kickboxing. I mean, it's amazing that 2 years ago, I was on the couch and couldn't even tie my shoes, and now I'm training with MMA fighters and just doing stuff that I never thought that I would be doing ever again. So Super Male Vitality has allowed me to do some amazing things, and if it has those kind of effects for me, I know that it will do great things for you. So just try Super Male Vitality. I promise you, you'll love it.
And finally, let's look at Anthony Gucciardi, InfoWars.com reporter. He also works with Dr. Group and others, helping develop the newest, most cutting-edge, high-quality supplements. Let's take a look at what happened when he tried to barefoot ski for the first time with the Steiners. And remember, we're not making fun of him. He had the will to get in the arena, and he's lost more than 10 pounds in the last few years of fat and gained more than 10 pounds of muscle. And Anthony chalks it up to Super Male Vitality as well. Bottom line, folks, you want to discover the power of Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality for yourself by visiting InfoWarsLife.com today or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. My friends, this is a very special edition of InfoWars Facebook Mentions. We are going live right now at 249 Central Standard Time here in Austin, Texas, and then transmitting worldwide on the 16th day of December 2015 on this Wednesday edition. Now, we're also shooting an HD in here so that tomorrow we can have a more produced piece with added evidence that will premiere on the InfoWars Nightly News, 7 o'clock Central, on the 17th of December. So that's tomorrow. That's Thursday. But we're talking to our millions of viewers. Average video gets over 500,000 views on Facebook Mentions right now with breaking news, because there's been some new developments. Now, you see the title of this video, obviously dealing with the fact that there's an investigation to the Bush family and Jeb Bush to the Nazis. Now, I was one of the people that was involved in breaking this and popularizing it back in 2003 and 2004, and I'm about to show you those articles and more. But it's important to understand that the Bushes aren't this little sweetsy, cutesy family that you've been told they are. George Herbert Walker Bush is the son of Prescott Bush, who in congressional hearings, the McCormick-Dickstein committee hearings that were sealed and then declassified just a few decades ago and basically buried, they were the head Nazi lawyers, not just for the U.S., but for Latin America and major Nazi shipping firms. And when the Nazis collapsed in 1945, they helped get the Nazis, 36,000 of them in the rat line, Operation Paperclip, out of Germany, Italy, and other areas. Now, this was known, but only by people like Smedley Butler, who testified secretly to Congress. This didn't come out again until the 80s, but it was in no publications because no one dared go to the declassified documents. That's until people like John Buchanan for the New Hampshire Gazette came out in October 10th, 2003, Bush Nazi linked confirmed. Then he came out in November, Bush Nazi link continued. If you move on from that point with those articles, you then see a year later, September 2004, the London Guardian with the headline, "How Bush's Grandfather Helped Hitler Rise to Power." Notice, it's broken by InfoWars, via the Gazette. We had him on within days of this coming out. Some of the publishers over at some of the Patriot publishing houses had also put out books along this line exposing it. It had come out in some other congressional hearings as well. But we're about to get into the full depth of all of this. Here's another Guardian article from July of 2015, but this was also in hundreds of other publications. Queen's Nazi salute footage raises pressure on royals to open archives. Type in British royals with Nazis. You'll get hundreds of them, with the King of England, her uncle, with their families. They were German, but well, really actually Romanian or Hungarian. They're actually Transylvanian. They're not even German. Who are the House of Windsor? Windsor's a fake name. They are Gothas, Saxe-Coburg Gothas, and are directly related to their original lineage of Vlad the Impaler, or the original person, the legend of Dracula, the Drac, the dragon, comes from. You cannot make this level of stuff up. Now, before I get into the info that's in the committee hearings and that's in the research, here's a headline. Trump exposed how Bush family, in last night's debate on the 15th, Trump exposed how Bush family helped Bin Laden's escape after 9/11. While all air traffic grounded after 9/11, then President Bush flew Bin Laden family out of the country.
When you had the World Trade Center go, people were put into planes that were friends, family, girlfriends, and they were put into planes and they were sent back for the most part to Saudi Arabia. They knew what was going on. They went home and they wanted to watch their boyfriends on television.
They were having breakfast that day at the Carlyle Group in D.C., Bush Sr. and the head of the Bin Laden family at that table out of 1,000 people there. They are deeply involved. So this shows how they are literally like James Bond criminals. Now, Jeb Bush has been connected to all sorts of evil. Zapata oil to narcotics trafficking. Again, his dad was made the CIA director, supposedly when he'd never been in the CIA. He, of course, is part of Skull and Bones, itself a German death cult. I'm not saying that this is a German death cult we're facing. I'm not saying there's a Germanic satanic conspiracy that we face. I'm showing where this particular crime family comes from. I've snuck into Bohemian Grove. I've covered Skull and Bones. I've interviewed all the experts. I've been on Brad Metzler's shows. I've been all over History Channel, Discovery Channel, True TV, interviewed on this. I am a leading expert. I have 4 shows on Discovery and History right now interviewing me on secret societies and elites. Okay? So I've done my research. I've made the films. I've been there. I've done it. I'm not bragging to the folks on Facebook mentions. I'm not bragging to the folks that are watching this tomorrow night on the nightly news, but Facebook mentions gets the first live sneak peek. I am going over all this. You need to understand, this is not my opinion. Now, here's the rest of the story. We know that they were the German's top lawyer. We know it came out in the committees that they were hiding billions of dollars in 1930s and 40s money in accounts, in shipping firms, in construction firms, in major Manhattan building firms, in firms in Houston, in firms in San Diego. I mean, we're talking huge global shipping concerns, oil companies. And then you wonder why the Nazis were allowed to flee, not to Russia, but to the U.S. and Latin America. The Bushes were considered too big to fail, even though they tried to hire Smedley Butler. This came out in congressional hearings. Read about it. To overthrow the government with a 500,000-man force for the Nazis, basically, install a fascist dictator. That's why Hitler didn't take America seriously. When they finally got busted, they thought, this will hurt America too bad if it comes out. We'll make the Bushes be double agents against the Nazis. We'll make the Brown Brother Harrimans be double agents. And we'll make the Kennedys, who are also all Nazi agents. That's on Discovery Channel. That's known. This isn't known. That JFK, his brother, they weren't bad guys. They got infiltrated by sex operatives, beautiful German women. They thought the Germans were going to take over. They didn't know. This is in the 30s before Hitler was a bad guy in the public. He was a good guy in Time magazine. So I'm not saying the Kennedys were overall bad. They weren't actual lawyers for the Nazis. They were just fans of it at a certain level. His father was. Joe Kennedy Sr. And so they were both, in fact, we can put articles up about that once we put a more produced piece out showing you all these other points I'm making, because it's just fascinating. The Bushes, though, were actually at the top of the pyramid. They weren't under the control of sex operatives and, you know, Joe Kennedy getting letters from Hitler and doing some business with him. This was hardcore, kind of like George Soros was a Nazi collaborator helping round up Jews and ferret them out and infiltrate synagogues in Hungary and Romania and other areas to round them up. I mean, that's true as well.
It was actually probably the happiest year of my life, that year of German occupation. For me, it was a very positive experience. It's a strange thing, you know, because you see incredible suffering around you, and in fact, you are in considerable danger yourself. But you're 14 years old, and you don't believe that it can actually touch you. You have a belief in yourself, your belief in your father. It's a very happy-making, exhilarating experience.
So the leftists are controlled by a Nazi collaborator, and the family that says they've got the delegates and don't care if Donald Trump or Rand Paul or Ted Cruz get them, Donald Trump has, you know, talked about this. Jeb Bush has told CNN and others, I am not going to let Trump do this. He will not get the nomination, even if he gets the votes. We can show you those quotes and clips from CNN.
You're a tough guy, Jeb.
And we need to have a leader that is real tough. You're never going to be president of the United States by insulting your way to the presidency.
Let's see, I'm at 42 and you're at 3, so far I'm doing better.
Doesn't matter.
So far I'm doing better. Talks about the border, and I saw it, and I was witness to it, and so was everyone else, and I was standing there. They come across as an act of love. He's saying the same thing right now with radical Islam. And we can't have that in our country. It just won't work. We need strength.
Governor Bush.
Donald, you're not going to be able to insult your way to the presidency. That's not going to happen. And I do have the strength.
So you have to understand, this is a very hardcore organization. And the Nazi money is estimated, if you read into these reports, in the trillions in current money, hundreds of billions then, gold, diamonds, artwork, wired money, businesses that the Nazis invested in Mexico and in the rest of Central and South America. And again, Mexico had a big German relationship in World War I and World War II. Mexico got intelligence for the Germans and launched attacks on Texas and other states during World War I. Now, again, the West started World War I. I'm not demonizing the Mexicans for that. It's just you need to understand there's a major German influence in Mexico because the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, which is Germanic, ran Mexico for about 30 years or so. You just look into Maximilian and the rest of it. They finally killed him. So you have to understand that this is a very serious situation.
You guys have the exclusive for, which is a product called Deep Cleanse. And why I'm so excited about it is it's a unique formula, almost like the iodine crystals. We have two unique products that nobody in the world has. One of the most amazing ingredients in the world, and it's called Shilajit, and it's actually known as blood of the mountain or rock sweat because thousands of years ago, as a matter of fact, this ingredient was only given to the elite of the elite. Thousands of years ago, up in the Himalayan mountains and in Tibet.
And we wanted to put this in stuff for a couple years, but we couldn't get an organic form.
Right. I mean,
so let's explain. I mean, this stuff's so good, we couldn't put it out for years.
Right. So I had to actually, it's kind of like the iodine crystals, finding a source deep in the earth that we could get the cleanest source available. But in Tibet and in Nepal and in the Himalayan mountains, thousands of years ago, they watched these monkeys, and during the summer months, the monkeys would go up into the mountains.
Now you're being racist against monkeys.
And they would pick this black substance from the mountains. And so, in Russia, they actually, it grows in Russia in the mountains and in the Himalayas and only in the summer. And Shilajit is actually the decomposition of up to 7,000 different medicinal herbs. So it decomposes, all these different herbs decompose in the Himalayan mountains and the volcanic soil up there. And what happens in the summertime.
So it's almost like an oil from.
Yes, it's high in fulvic acid, it's high in humic acid.
Because they're always claiming oil is really from decomposed animals and plants. There is some oil that is based from fossils, but most of it's really abiotic. But so this is a true fossil source? I mean, explain it to me.
It is it's really the decomposition, like I said, of over 7,000 different medicinal herbs and plants, and with the rocks and the pressure deep in the mountains, it freezes and during the summertime and the pressures build it up.
It oozes out.
It oozes out. So it literally oozes out of the mountain.
It's like rock sap.
It's like rock sap. It's black and it's highly nutritious. Even in the 1980s when the Olympic athletes in Russia were accused of being on steroids, they found out that they were actually been given Shilajit because it works as an anabolic as well. and it builds muscles. It's a big dose in there. The second big main ingredient in there is a volcanic zeolite concentrate. And what this formula is designed to do, the shilajit and the zeolites have a real strong negative charge. All the metals and chemicals and PCBs and VOCs have positive charges. So these go in, they grab it, and then they safely eliminate it through the body so you can become healthy. I mean, this is an amazing formula. I wish I actually had it, but because this was an exclusive InfoWars Life product, you're the only one in the world that has this formula now. And, you know, there is going to be a limited supply available when you sell out because you can only harvest this once a year.
How do people take it? How is it recommended that this be done? Just a daily dose?
Yeah, daily dose. The instructions are on the label. You know, of course, I kind of modify it for each individual. It depends on what your lifestyle is. I mean, honestly, the best thing to do is for you to avoid all these chemicals and toxins in your environment and try to identify them and start slowly reducing them. But personally, I'm going to probably take it every day, every other day, and I'll probably go with about a dropper full to maybe two dropper fulls. And I don't expose myself to any chemicals.
InfoWarsLife.com. Please also support our local AM and FM affiliates. Support their local sponsors or become a sponsor and spread the word. Because these aren't just great products. This is how we fund this independent operation. We're not taxpayer funded like MSNBC or NPR, and neither is your local station. So support them, folks. This is a war. And I've given you the background. I've given you a lot of pieces to this. We don't know the amount of money they got, but the word from leaks, the word from sources, the word that's come out in some of these reports in Skull and Bones is the Bushes came from nowhere to be, you know, very close to the presidency, even in Prescott's time, and to having fabulous wealth and now 200,000 acre plus ranches in South America with military command bases and helicopter pads. Because they really are like James Bond villains, and they really are dangerous. The whole fake, weak, Eddie Haskell, Mr. Nice Guy thing that you see Jeb Bush putting on is just that, is a total act. And Donald Trump needs to understand there's a reason Ross Perot dropped out and said the Bushes have threatened to basically kill my family. It's because that's what they did. I'm here in Texas. Again, I have the inside baseball, but that all came out at the time. And Trump needs to know he is up against some very serious people whenever Jeb looks at him and says, you're not going to be president. You understand that? People need to know who these folks are. It's a big scandal when it turns out the Queen of England was a Nazi and her uncle was. Well, it's a big scandal here that it's never really come out in U.S. press like it should and hasn't been investigated that the head lawyer for the Nazis, I mean the very head one, who they admitted squirreled all the money away, And who was used at the end of World War II to bring the Nazis in to fight the Russians and then help them hide their money that made a lot of U.S. officials rich. So this is this grafting on of the Nazis into American culture and why we see so many of these fascist tactics out of the bushes. I mean, I don't know the pros and cons of this because I just can't support either one. So sure, Ted Cruz may not be perfect, Donald Trump, Rand Paul. I know who the Bushes are.
I've been an investigative reporter and a journalist for 35 years. I've worked in every major media market in the United States, and I've written for more than 100 newspapers and magazines nationally and internationally. So last September 17th, I became the first journalist in U.S. history to go to the U.S. National Archives and the Library of Congress and pore over the thousands of pages of documents in both places to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt or any refutation of the facts that Prescott Bush, the grandfather of George W. Bush, and George Herbert Walker, his maternal great-grandfather for whom his daddy is named, were Nazi traitors to the country who should have been tried for treason. Prescott Bush was the grandfather of George W. Bush and the father of George Herbert Walker Bush, and George Herbert Walker Bush is named for his father-in-law, George Herbert Walker. Prescott Bush graduated from Yale in 1917 and was in Skull and Bones with E. Roland Harriman, who was the younger brother of W. Averill Harriman. The Bush family really had nothing going. They were essentially social climbers and opportunistic people. At the time that Prescott Bush met Dorothy Walker, he was a tire salesman. And George Herbert Walker, as all fathers do when their daughter's going to marry someone, said, in his heart, you know, it's not an appropriate thing socially that my daughter marry a tire salesman. So he brought Prescott Bush first into Brown Brothers Harriman and then Union Banking Corporation. In actuality, it was anything but a bank. It was essentially a Nazi money laundering operation that had a lot of tentacles into a lot of different other businesses. They owned a shipping line called Hamburg American Line, for example, which was the first Nazi front business seized, although the line was no longer operational in 1942. In the early 1930s, it transported Nazi spies into the U.S., and then their promotional ads offered cash rewards to any American citizens who would go back on Hamburg American Lines and proselytize for Hitler. 8 months after the U.S. had entered the war, the New York Herald Tribune ran a front page article, Hitler's Angel has 3 million in U.S. bank. And it caused a major scandal and just rocked the world of politics. Brown Brothers Harriman, which George Herbert Walker and Prescott Bush were affiliated with and partners in, worked with I.G. Farben, which operated Auschwitz. Prescott Bush, he did a number of things that were not only anti-American, but were pro-Hitler, and he did all that he could to proselytize for Hitler and the rise of his Third Reich, because the largest client, Fritz Thyssen, of his patron, W. Averill Harriman, dictated what kind of behavior he would practice to enhance his own career. So he was put on the board of directors of Union Banking Corporation, and he was also a shareholder in Union Banking Corporation along with E. Roland Harriman. But what's interesting about what the documents show is that they clearly state that all of the shareholders were phantom shareholders for Fritz Thyssen and did his bidding directly. So the point I'm making is it's not as if they bought these shares of stock as a passive investment to hopefully profit from the war. They were directly doing the bidding of the individual who built the Nazi war machine. Some very shocking documents that I saw at the Library of Congress 2 weeks ago on August 10th. Had to do with the hearings of the McCormick-Dickstein Committee of November 1934, show that Prescott Bush and the DuPont family, the Remington family, and J.P. Morgan tried to overthrow the U.S. government, assassinate FDR, and put a Hitler-style fascist state in place. I have in my possession testimony from the McCormick-Dickstein Committee in November of 1934 by one of the fascist plotters that they were going to follow Hitler's model exactly and impose martial law on the United States, round up unemployed people that were worthless to the economy and troublemakers and Jews and put them into internment camps. And their plan was, if necessary, to exterminate the people that could not be part of the effort. The only reason the coup attempt in 1934 didn't succeed is that they hired the wrong general to lead it, General Smedley Butler, the great Marine hero, two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner, who worked with the plotters just long enough to be able to identify who they were and then blew the whistle on them to Congress. Incredibly, after being warned by the FBI and the Justice Department and the Treasury Department to cease and desist in their Nazi dealings, they had continued them until 1951. There had been 28 additional seizures of Nazi assets and Nazi business fronts between late 1942 and 1951, and that they had moved Nazi assets into Switzerland, Brazil, Argentina, and Panama, and they had continued to do business with their primary Nazi patron, who was Fritz Thyssen, who backed Hitler beginning in 1921 and who was the wealthiest man in Germany, and a steel and coal baron who, with his partner Friedrich Flick, essentially built the Nazi war machine along with I.G. Farben. In 1951, when Fritz Thyssen died in Argentina, Union Banking Corporation was liquidated by the U.S. government, and Prescott Bush received $1.5 million for his holdings in his Nazi business, and that was the beginning of the Bush family fortune for all intents and purposes. Schwarzenegger is the son of a Nazi. He has praised Nazis. He has praised Hitler. He talked last night in terms like, we will not falter, we will not waver, we will win this war on terror.
He's a leader who doesn't flinch, who doesn't waver, and does not back down.
Well, that's exactly the speeches that Hitler made after the Reichstag fire. Terrorism and the homeland being under attack are precisely the issues that Hitler used to subvert everything within the German system of government. This is a criminal regime. They not only emulate Hitler, but its genesis comes from Hitler. And I defy anyone, a historian, journalist, author, anyone, to come forward and disprove my premise that you cannot differentiate Hitler's invasion of Poland in 1939 and the Reichstag fire and his attempt to dominate the world from George W. Bush's unprovoked invasion of Iraq and subversion of the Constitution through the Patriot Act after 9/11, which I submit is his Reichstag fire. Karl Rove and his minions are every bit the masters of propaganda that Joseph Goebbels was. They literally took lessons from Goebbels and Goring about how to create such brilliant propaganda that unreality can become reality, and reality can be subverted to fantasy political subterfuge right before your eyes. So there's just an endless broken record that is leading up to the present era, that the Bush family has had a single goal for 100 years, which is to become the most powerful family on the planet and to rule the world. It's critical that every citizen of this country rise up and do something, because the day of reckoning is at hand, and these people are Nazis. They are practicing Nazi philosophy. They are mimicking Nazi tactics, and time is running out.
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for. You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and cannot be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosylcobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. You know, it's really no secret that the establishment would much prefer Jeb Bush over Donald Trump in the White House. So what kind of dirty tricks are they willing to play to steal the election? Here's Rob Dew.
Thanks, Darren. You may remember last week I did an interview with Richard Reeves for the InfoWars Nightly News. It was a two-part interview talking about how to become a delegate, for one, and why being a delegate is so important, especially in this year's election, because it looks like they're trying to kind of worm and wedge Jeb Bush into the nomination, even though he's polling at like a paltry 3%. And we talked about how they were going to do that. One way was the splitter strategy. You get a bunch of candidates, and so it kind of dilutes the vote everywhere, and then that would lead to a brokered convention. But I want to go to this first clip. Just talks about just a few of the dirty tricks that the Democrats that have infiltrated the GOP and those rhinos that are in the GOP are planning on doing to ensure a Jeb Bush victory.
Well, Rob, thank you for having me on. And the Democrats, via the New World Order, definitely have a plan on how they're going to try to steal this election. They've adjusted primary dates. They've adjusted the way the delegates are proportioned. In some states, winner take all. In some states, they're proportional. So we're really going to be having to watch for the dirty tricks by the GOP and the RNC. So we are really going to have to be on our toes.
And we saw this on the last two primary seasons with Ron Paul just basically getting Iowa stolen from him. Like it was Rick Santorum in the last election where he suddenly came up with this fairy dust money to just blitz the area and kind of steal that not. And then he disappeared. He was just a ringer. He was thrown in there to take away the momentum from Ron Paul so then no one could give him legitimacy. So that was back in 2008 and 2012. The delegates for Ron Paul, the people that really wanted Ron Paul in, were trying to create a brokered convention to thereby, you know, put Ron Paul in. And now the Republicans have learned from that. And now they're going to try that same thing with this time with Jeb Bush, a candidate that nobody likes. He's got 3% in the polls. And they're doing that by getting as many candidates into the nomination process as possible, which is called the splitter strategy. And here's Richard to explain more.
The Republicans are dead set on making sure that Donald Trump does not get this nomination. And by that, I mean the Republican establishment, along with the Democrats that have infiltrated the party. It's going to be really tricky to do this. And what it was ultimately with this, what's called the splitter strategy, mm-hmm. is we had the Republicans gather up at some point in the past and they had a huddle and they decided, you know what, Jeb Bush is going to be our nominee for 2016. How do we get that done? So what they looked at is the splitter strategy. We all know that one of the mottos of the New World Order is divide and conquer.
Right.
So what they did is they came up with all these candidates. That's why you have Jeb Bush. That's why you have Marco Rubio. That's why you have Santorum and Kasich. And
Kasich is basically a hitman. He's right. Just brought in to just hit Trump constantly. No substance to his attacks. He's basically worthless in the polls. I mean, he's polling at like 1% maybe.
That's right.
That's his only job. But he's still in it.
So for the GOP, he sits there and he's got plenty of money. He's well-funded. But he can sit there and hit the barbed wire for the GOP and keep attacking Trump like a chihuahua.
That's a great analogy. Yeah, he's a World War One barbed wire guy. He just jumps on it and lets everybody else run over top of him.
There you go. So that's it. So they came up with the splitter strategy, but their splitter strategy didn't take into account Donald Trump.
That's true.
And that's the thing.
Yeah, it didn't take into account a guy with his own war chest who doesn't need financing. He doesn't need to pay back favors. And he's admitted he's used that in the past to get favors. So I'm looking at this article, how all the candidates fit into the overall GOP roadmap, the big picture. This is from The Last Refuge. And they say, how did all the candidates fit in? Jeb Bush is the easiest to outline for the entire reason of the 11 of the 18 candidates to exist. Jeb Bush is the consummate Republican establishment candidate. He has the approvals of Wall Street, the COC, K Street, the professional Republican Party construct. Everyone inside the GOP machine is full in support of Jeb. Now, I got an email a couple days ago, and let's bring up our guest. This is Grant Trevette. He's a student up in North Carolina, and he's going to tell us his story that totally just validates everything that we talked about in that report that I did with Richard Reeves last week. Grant, how are you doing today?
Pretty good, Rob.
All right.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So, and I was really, I'm happy that you reached out to me because this is how we are able to analyze what's out there in the news and see then real life instances of where it happened. Tell us about the event you were at and just break down how everything went. Go ahead. You got the floor.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, first of all, but I did get chills listening to that report because, in early October, my wife and I relocated to, Central North Carolina. We went to a young professional, young graduate networking event, and we were there. It was toward the end of the day. You know, they give you free dinner and, you know, drink tickets. So we decided to take advantage of that. As we're sitting there, young guy comes up, clean cut. You know, he's having a beer, sits down at our table, and he just starts pitching Jeb Bush to us. And, you know, we're Rand Paul supporters, and, we were very much on board with him at the time. And we mentioned his name, and the guy just, he gave us a look, you know, a disgusted look. And, he starts going over all that Jeb Bush could do for us. And, I said, you know, there's no way that we can do that. And he said, well, go ahead and vote for whoever you want. He said, I'm a GOP delegate. And, you know, this guy's in his mid 20s. So, you know, I didn't believe him. I have an image of a delegate in my head, and have never met one until then. And sure enough, he starts pulling up his phone and starts showing me pictures of him with Karl Rove, pictures of him with former Speaker Boehner. You know, I brought up at that time the Vacate the Chair movement was gaining ground thanks to, you know, Congressman Walter Jones and InfoWars as well. And he did not want to hear a single word of it. He said it would fail. And he said his exact words were, "You cannot get rid of this sweetheart." So, you know, there's the Dem connection. There's the Rhino connection. And just for him to say, vote for whoever you want, it made me question him more. And I asked, you know, I said, so who's running you? He said, it doesn't matter. I've been told my votes as a delegate go to Jeb Bush.
So he was told from above that his votes are going to go to Jeb Bush no matter what the people want. It doesn't matter. And that is the scary thing, that the people in this delegate process are already bought off. They've already decided who they're going to vote for. They don't care about the debates. These debates are meaningless to these people. And what's going to happen, Grant, do you know about brokered conventions?
Absolutely. I've been since then for about the past 48 hours, I've been digging as much as I can.
Yeah.
And I can see that. And especially, you know, with the proportion, they can keep Jeb in there until it's time to strike.
Yeah, exactly. All they need is to not give a majority to anyone in the first vote count, which they'll have at the Republican National Convention. So say Trump, if he stays in the lead, everybody thinks he's going to get it. He's a shoo-in. But they go, oh, he only got 49%. We got to do another vote. And then he gets 45%. And then he gets 40%. And then all of a sudden, you see Jeb, all the people pulling for Jeb rising up in these votes. And all of a sudden, Jeb's got 51% because they've made some weird backroom deal. And that's how they'll steal it. And I'll bring you to this Real Clear Politics article. Came out this morning, December 16th. Rince Priebus, who's the head of the RNC, a brokered convention is possible. If a candidate doesn't get to a majority of delegates by the time you get to the convention, then you must have a contested convention. And he's probably, at least in my opinion, probably in on this Jeb Bush thing, because you're going to have this to get Jeb Bush forced down the American public, you're going to have to carry the ball. So we got about a minute left. Just repeat that story and the look in this guy's eyes, how there is no way he's going to vote for anybody else but Jeb Bush.
That was it. Just from the very beginning, he detested Trump and Carson right off the bat. Some people at our table were saying, you know, I support Trump. Well, I support Carson. You know, they were doing very well in early October. He said no chance for them. And again, he hated Rand Paul and especially Ted Cruz. And then he just assured us. And the more beers he drank, you know, the more truth serum got in him, the more he was bragging. And he would look through you and say, just go vote for whoever you want. You know, it's not going to matter.
Grant, the delegate that you're mentioning right there, that is, he's leaving himself open to blackmail, totally disreputable. It's shameful that we have people like that out there, but that's why more people need to get involved in the process. I commend you for getting in touch with me. Please get involved in your area. Anybody else watching this needs to get involved, because if we don't have our iPhones out there, our smartphones, taking video, taking photos, getting audio recordings of these people doing this, the system is never going to change, and we're never going to end up with the candidate that the American people truly want and truly deserve. So thanks for getting involved. And now back to Darren McBreen in the main studio.
So the fix is in. Election Fraud USA continues. Hey, we're out of time. See you back here tomorrow night.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams a piece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. and it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.